once again, everyone, for staying. That some of you have been here, what is that, 9 hours now? So thank you so much.
12 hours,
my God. It's terrible. This one, as you can see, there's a lot of serious stuff going on here. I mean, I didn't stay to watch it because I can't bear to listen to my own voice, but as you were watching it, I was thinking what you were seeing, and you're seeing things like come and see that extraordinary film where the boy and girl are, use that phrase, cursing through sludge, and you were seeing the wonders of Japanese documentary of the 70s, isn't that? I mean, people talk so much about documentary, the golden age documentary in the 60s, France or America. Look at that stuff, look at Shuchimoto. There's Ogawa, which we didn't deal with here, but look at Harakazuo, the Emperor's Naked Army marches on. Isn't that astonishing? So I think this is, it's a great age for cinema. So as usual, any comments or questions? Or
I was here on Monday.
I know you were, but your name's Mary, isn't it?
That's right. And then I had to
Where
miss.
Have you been since Monday?
I had to miss Tuesday because I was going with a friend and I've got the tickets.
Okay.
And yesterday there was something too. And I'm back today.
We can see that, Mary.
And therefore I feel even more the need of access. Now, how are we going to get access to your series?
Yes.
I mean, it's like my Encyclopedia Britannica. I love it much more than Google. And I want to have your film as a reference for.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
I can look things up.
Thank you very much. This is the first audience. You are the first people in the world to have seen this film. So it's very, very new. Pinching the little mistakes. I can see that here, spelling mistakes and things like that. But that's why, because it's so new. So we're literally, the buyers haven't seen it yet. The people who will buy it, who will put it on DVD, on TV, and in cinemas like this one, haven't really seen it yet. So it's early days. My producer, John Archer, and I, we are talking each day to people who might want to buy it. We're talking to someone this afternoon, etc. So fingers crossed, it'll definitely come out on DVD. It'll make a lovely Christmas present for you and for all. Hopefully that's what will happen. But we don't know, it's not up to us, we want to. Right, Alison.
Going back to the first episode in today, it's hard for me to imagine a first kung fu film. When you talk about Mr. King, is he the director?
Of which one?
The first kung fu film.
Oh, A Touch of Zen? Yeah, King Hu? Yeah,
King Hu.
King Hu, yeah.
What are the cultural circumstances that produced that first?
Good, very good question. He was brilliant. He edited, cut, designed, directed, and everything like that. The cultural circumstances are the strong influence of Shanghai Peking Opera, as it was called then, where they would hide trampolines on the stage, so the actors would come along and go burdoing, 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 and so they built that and they put them on wires. And so the idea of flying in cinema came from the Peking Opera. But in addition to that, King Hu was a philosopher and a Buddhist, and so he wanted to start his film realistically and then change registers. It gets more transcendental, hence those incredible scene of the flying Buddhas and the twinkling light. This is the film you're referring to. And so he was exceptionally interesting, almost like King Vidor in American cinema. It's something like the equivalent, but he was hoovering up loads and loads of influences. And then, of course, it's impossible to imagine the films of Ang Lee without King Hu. That film, Touch of Zen, one of the most influential ever made. Mm. Not necessarily here in the Anglo or Franco world, but in Asia, I guess.
Okay. She mentioned the first movie, but Red Herring was far older than that movie.
Yes, this wasn't the first one. This was just the... seldom in this whole story of film do I go for the first, unless it captures the moment, and unless it is the most innovative. So there are lots of kung fu films before it, certainly, like way back, and there were kung fu and other art forms as well, as you know. So it wasn't in any way the first. Now, and then we did kung fu today, and then we did Bruce Lee today, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's some more coming tomorrow. Yes.
Hello again.
Hi there.
Because this isn't early screenings, and we don't want to wait for the second edition for your corrections to come out, maybe we should actually provide a list of things like My Bloody Valentine, the credit on the screen.
My Beautiful Andres. It said My Beautiful Andres.
Yes.
I noticed that.
That's right.
Yes, lots of, yeah, there are lots of, we'll catch all these things. We rushed so hard, we were working late into the night to get these screenings ready, hence these little blips.
That one you do.
Yes.
Hi, this is my first day actually, sadly. This was an iTeach film at a college in Toronto, and so I'm extremely excited by the possibility of this becoming available as an educational tool.
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll give you my brief summary of what I think of the brief and stuff. I think what concerns me so much, and I used to talk to her on the phone, I knew her vaguely, and what concerns me so much about brief and stuff is she took this style, which is classicizing, eroticizing style of filmmaking, which she used during the Nazi period, filming all these sports guys and everything like that. And then after the Holocaust, after the absolute crisis and breakdown and whole questions of humanity, her style doesn't change. Modernism comes along, you know, the divided self comes along, existentialism comes along, but look at her late pictures of the Nuba tribe. They're exactly the same style, exact same form, classicizing, eroticizing again. So I think that there's an incredible lack of curiosity about form or formal change in her work. There's all the other stuff, of course, like the famous Tiefland film where she actually used people from a concentration camp as extras, one of the great obscenities in film history. But her form doesn't change. That's what, in the end, that's what's the shock to me, that she was such a lack of curiosity with that. She was hanging out with artists. She had all this stuff was at her fingertips. She didn't absorb it in any way. Astonishing. One more question. okay, any more comments or thoughts from?
I guess it sort of has to do with truth and film. John Sayles, when he said directly, you should have seen my cut.
Yes.
That goes back to the Peter Weir film, Thinking of Hanging Rockers, and here was the director.
Sales's point is so pertinent there, isn't it? You know,
mm-hmm.
The closer
yeah.
you get to the center of power, the bigger, your budget, the more you've got these regrets about what could have been. You sort of dream a film that doesn't happen.
Well, there's the idea that who gets the final cut.
Yeah.
And a lot of directors don't.
Yeah, particularly in North
college.
America. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you look at the DVDs and the videos now, you have the original and the director's cut.
Absolutely.
The first, all the versions.
Yeah. Yeah, the director's cut will at least twice as long.